let me, today's going to be, you know, fairly heavy. These verses are kind of heavy. If you've never been to one of these studies before, I want to apologize in advance. We don't teach this every week, but we're teaching through the book of James, and this has been heavy. I mean, I've had to teach this three times, I think, so far. And so just kind of walk with me through this and understand that it ain't that easy to go through. And I know you're not supposed to apologize for the Word of God, but you're going to see what I'm talking about in just a minute. I'm not apologizing, I'm just telling you it's heavy. Here's what James says, James 5:1. We're only here because we've been teaching through James. He said, "Look here, you rich people. Weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you." I mean, that's a good way to start, right, today? "Your wealth is rotting away and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver corroded. The very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment. For listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. The cries of those whose harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of heaven's armies. You have spent your lives on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You fatten yourselves for the day of slaughter. You've condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near." Let's see. Wait, there's a little bit more. Wait, no, there it is. Sorry, my little deal is messing with me right now. "Dear brothers and sisters, be patient." There's one more. Maybe not. I don't know what happened. Okay, "Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. For examples of patience and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. But most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say a simple yes or no so that you will not sin and be condemned." A couple of things. I'm taking on a few more verses today because I would like to finish James before the end of the year, and we've got one more. And I'm ready to teach that one too. I just have to get through this one to do that. Here's what I think he's saying initially. Don't love the material more than the eternal. I think that's a very, very clear message that he's trying to get across to us. Maybe something along the lines of, do not waste your life while you're here focusing on the things of this world. That's what he's saying to you, okay? He says it. He says, "Look here, you rich people. Weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away. Your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver are corroded. The very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. The corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment." Now, here's what you've got to realize. He's writing to believers here. He's writing to struggling and suffering believers here. But he's also writing to some believers in their midst who, whether believers or not believers, they're in the congregation and they're listening to this and they're accumulating, okay? Period. And so we're just going to kind of walk through this a little bit. He talks to the wealthy. Couple of things he's saying, and I really believe this is the heart of where he's going from where we've been so far in the book of James. If we begin to worship stuff and money and possessions and wealth, we will become like them. Dead and lifeless, ultimately to our ruin. It's the end result of us building our life on stuff, money, possessions. If you want a good book to read on this subject, but it's a painful book, is a book written by Randy Alcorn years ago called Money, Possessions, and Eternity. Really does a good job of kind of walking the believer through accountability to the gospel. And this is kind of where James is going with this. So Jesus said it like this. And every time I read Matthew chapter 6, this is obviously in the Sermon on the Mount, I have to remind myself that this is a command. This is not a suggestion. It is something Jesus is telling us not to do. Okay? I don't think the world is going to tell us not to do this. I don't think the culture is going to tell us not to do this. But I think you've at least got to admit that Jesus tells you not to do it. He says, do not store up treasures here on earth. It's a command. If anybody's listening to this verse going, yeah, my cousin needs to hear this, you're really not listening right now. It's talking to us. It's talking to every one of us in this room. You know, first and foremost, it's talking to me. Brad, do not store up treasures on this earth. It's a command. It's an imperative. And if you were to rate, just think in your own mind right now, I'm going to rate the commands. Am I more intentional on obeying a command that was written by Moses? Am I more intentional on, you know, obeying a command that was written by Paul? Or am I more intent on obeying a command that was actually said by Jesus, the one whom I will stand before in eternity? He says, don't do it. Why? He said, well, moths and will eat them, rust destroy them, thieves break in and steal and take them. So what do I do? He says, store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, the desires of your heart will also be. Years ago, I think I was teaching through the Sermon on the Mount, and I had a dream. And most of my dreams don't really matter. You know, most of my dreams have absolutely nothing to do with anything. I dream every night, and every dream I dream is bizarre. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it. Sometimes my wife will say, hey, did you dream anything last night? I said, you don't even want to know. I mean, I take on new careers in my dreams. I build things in my dreams. I tear down things in my dreams. It's just pretty nuts when I go to sleep. But this night, I actually had a dream that might have been significant. It might have actually been a dream that could potentially count. And it was built really off of these verses. And I kind of saw this building, and there was a building, and it was like an investment building. But it was different in that the people going in there were going to sit down with someone who was going to help them figure out how to put their money into eternity. And so they would go sit down with this guy, and he was well-dressed, he was sitting there, and he would say, now what's on your heart right now? And maybe it was orphans were on their heart, or feeding the hungry was on their heart, or reaching unreached areas of the world were on their heart, and he was pulling out portfolios of ministry and putting them across the table, and they were reading through them, and then it was all said and done, he set them up with an account, and they began to invest. They began to invest heavily into the kingdom, and that was this guy's job. That's all he did. He was just representing ministries and helping people find places to put their money. So instead of putting it into the stock market, they were putting it into the kingdom. And I'm not telling you not to put your money in the stock market. I'm just telling you what this guy did. It was a dream, for Pete's sake, so don't worry about it a whole lot yet. But that's kind of what's going on here, right? Have you ever heard anybody say something like, because this verse down here, where your treasure is, that's where the desires of your heart will be? You want to know where your heart is? Just look at your spending. That's where your heart is, period. That's your treasure. The things you think about, reflect about, that's where your heart is. At least you know, right? I mean, have you ever heard somebody say, would you pray for me? I'm just praying that God will give me a heart for missions. I don't know of anyone that has ever just waked up one morning and go, wow, I just woke up with a deep desire to give to the kingdom. They may wake up with a deep desire to get a new Porsche. They may wake up with a deep desire to get a new beach house. But they rarely wake up in the morning going, I just want to give it all to eternity. Why? Because it's only following where their heart is. The way that you get your heart to go in that direction is to put your treasure there. It's really no other way.